This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And happy Monday, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. It's half hour to open up the show, brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Visit NILGameChangers.org. There'll be no Matt Cotrillo this week. He's on another vacation. Maybe I should start taking multiple vacations.
Well, like him, if you're going to do it now.
Yeah.
It's a little busy in about 3 weeks.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not taking any more vacations the rest of the year, but.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, in the off season, maybe I should take multiple vacations. What the heck? I've never done that. But it's becoming extremely more tempting as time goes. How about that? We'll lay it out for you that way. It's becoming extremely more tempting as time goes. Rich Carcella today at 2:35. And then tomorrow, Ryan Snyder on Lash Bash and Neil Coulong tomorrow. So, training camp starts this week. Now, we'll talk to Rich about that. And get in with Ryan. So, I mean, Lash Bash looks like it was another big success on the recruiting trail. At the Olympics, Simone Biles has a calf injury. She'll compete in team finals. That's fine. Novak Djokovic beat Rafa Nadal today in straight sets. Now, why did they meet so early? The reason they met so early, because we're used to those two playing late, they met so early that Djokovic, even though he's the number one seed, Nadal has played so little this year, he's fallen out of the top 150. That's why they met so early. USA and Japan, women's basketball, that opens up today at 3 o'clock. They're looking to win their eighth consecutive gold medal. How much of the Olympics did you watch this weekend?
More than you would think, the way I was talking on Friday, to be honest.
Good.
I found on Peacock they're doing like a red zone for the Olympics.
Yeah, Sue texted me about that. I guess Scott Hansen's doing that or something. I think so.
No, the guy that's on DirecTV, Andrew.
Oh, okay. Siciliano?
Yes. Yeah, he's on it. And honestly, they bounce from event to event to event. It's all sports. It's none of the human interest stories. If you're into all the sports and want to watch all the sports and you have Peacock, it's perfect.
Okay. I saw 2.5 quarters of the men's basketball game with Serbia, and Durant and LeBron were tremendous. I mean, just tremendous. And then I saw 10 minutes of women's gymnastics, but it was right after they showed the 100-meter breaststroke. And the 31-year-old American who had never won a medal before got the silver, which was cool. I mean, that was great seeing that. But that's all I've watched so far. And again, I'm not sitting here saying, "Oh, yeah, I'm not watching because I'm no, I'm not watching it because I've been busy every night." That's been the problem. The problem has been, in terms of watching it, I had a game Friday, did not see the opening ceremonies. I was told enough about it. did not see the opening ceremony. I had a game on Saturday, so I didn't see anything that day. I had a game yesterday at Williamsport, so I didn't even get back last night till, I don't know, 8:30, 9 o'clock. So I didn't see, so I haven't watched any of it, really.
And honestly, that's why I've been watching it, because that's the live stuff during the day. And like you, I work a lot in the evening, so I haven't seen one second of it in prime time. I've watched most of my stuff in the morning after I get up.
Yeah, the basketball game I was able to watch yesterday before I left. I left around 2 o'clock, something like that. I left to go up there because we were on at 3:50, so I left at about 2 o'clock. So I watched the basketball game, but that's been it. Really, I mean, I only watched, I don't know, two vaults for the women, and I did see the 100-meter breaststroke. Now, that I did see. So, okay. But that's really been it.
The interesting part to me was, is I forgot how deep some of these men's basketball teams are, or just where, you know, we talked a little bit, I think, earlier, a couple weeks ago, but just how far-flung some of the NBA players are. I was watching France, and France has Rudy Gobert and Victor Wembanyama, and they're real good, and then you forget Giannis is Greek, and Greece was pretty good. Got a chance to watch Greece and France, and I think Canada's almost all NBA players, too.
Yeah. And that's because of the 92 Olympics.
Yes.
Hey, everyone can talk about the dream team. You know, this is a deeper, older dream team. Please, you know what? That's nice, okay? The reason that the competition level is where it is right now is because of the 92 dream team. The point of the dream team was to not only win the gold medal, but to show the world what great basketball looks like and get people interested in it, and they accomplished that. That's why you're seeing all of these great international teams. Australia, Serbia, Lithuania, France, Spain, Brazil. They're all really good. Right? Is the U.S. better? Yeah. But, I mean, they're really good. And I think that that's an offshoot of getting people interested in the sport of basketball because of the Dream Team. That's what they were meant to do. And they did it.
I mean, even yesterday, go back to, you know, they got made fun of a little bit for the South Sudan game only being 1 point, and South Sudan won yesterday, and I didn't realize until I saw this yesterday, they had like the South Sudan has like the G League MVP from 2021.
Well, yeah, they beat Australia, I think,
yeah.
Right?
I think that's who it was, yeah.
Yeah. Then, of course, who's in charge of the Olympic Committee? When you do something of this scale, and I know it's a gigantic magnitude, but you have to be precise with what you're doing. And they've already had two major faux pas in my. I did not see the opening ceremony, so I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to talk about something I didn't see. Okay, I've heard about it. I've read enough about it. But these are two other things, right? They introduced South Korea under the official name of North Korea. How do you do that? I mean, seriously, how do you do that? And then yesterday, South Sudan, they put up a flag. It wasn't theirs. You know, all the players were looking at it like, what the heck is that? How do you do stuff like that? I mean, I'm sorry, but this, well, there's just so many things. No, I'm sorry. That tells me that they don't care about little details. I'm not sure what they care about. when they're not taking care of little things, that tells me they're not taking care of the big things.
I was going to say the United States not investigating their drug policies. Did you see that when they awarded Salt Lake City the bid?
Well, no, I didn't.
That's one of the things that Salt Lake City had to do to get the bid is Utah's governor and Salt Lake City's mayor has to lobby the United States government not to investigate WADA for letting those Chinese swimmers swim in the 01 Olympics or 21 Olympics.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. so that's where their priorities are.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think with, you know, the weirdness around the World Cup, you know, awarding the World Cup stuff, I think, you know, FIFA's kind of gotten that name as the, you know, only cares about money or worldwide federation. And I think that's kind of allowed the IOC to be the IOC like they've been for the last 125 years under the radar lately.
Yeah, the fact there's actually a badder guy out there than they are.
Yeah, yeah.
Always helps. Always helps. When you're comparing bad guys, they're bad, but not as bad as they are. Okay, well, all right, I feel better. Good, great. Ay. It's just, I don't know. I see stuff like this, and I was, first of all, Salt Lake City was the only bidder. So I would have looked at him and said, you know what? Take it or leave it. I would have looked at him and said, take it or leave it.
I wonder what they would do in that case. I wonder if, you know, because, you know, you and the King talked about it on Friday in Boston's bid. I think most of these, some of these cities and these big cities are realizing what a boondoggle is this becoming. And I wonder if they're going to be able to get bidders after 32 or into 36.
Well, you notice with Brisbane had no competition either, you know.
Yeah.
They just awarded it. Here, you got it. So all right. Well, actually, this goes back to now, because remember, it was Paris, Los Angeles for this year. And the compromise was Paris this time, Los Angeles 28. So there was no bidding for 28. They just took the, quote, one that agreed to be the runner-up in 24 to be the 28. And 30 in the Alps had no competition. 32 for Brisbane, no competition. 34 in Salt Lake City, no competition. Now, the one that's in 26, that's in Italy, right?
I believe so.
Right? I don't know what the bidding was on that one. It's amazing how Norway doesn't bid anymore. Let me see here. 2026 Olympic bidding.
Until you said that, I forgot how much fun Lillehammer was.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's bids for the 2026 Winter Olympics. Host city selection. Okay. I think this one had bidding. And
it was Italy or Stockholm.
Italy or Stockholm?
Yep.
Okay. You didn't want to put it in Sweden? Really? Now, I guess they have to use an existing ice sliding venue outside of Italy must be picked to avoid extra spending on construction. So the options are St. Moritz in Switzerland and Ilz in Austria. Okay. Our position is unequivocal, said Christophe Dubé. This is... We, from the beginning, felt that this venue is extremely complex in terms of cost, in terms of legacy, in terms of timing. We have promoted the use of an existing track. Who cares? Okay, so, good for you. Oh, wow. If the listen to this one. Now, this is 4 days ago. This is 4 days ago. Okay? Because of the Olympic sliding problem. Okay? Guess who has offered their Olympic sliding venue if Italy falters? Lake Placid, New York. How about that? If selected, Lake Placid would have three sports and 450 athletes. Okay. What are you going to do, fly them over from the opening ceremony? Yeah, we're going to America.
I wonder what they did with the surfers then this year.
The surfers are
in Fiji, I think.
Is it? The surfers in the Canary Islands? Let's see. Where is it? I did watch like one person like get swept up by surf yesterday. I did see that. Okay. Olympic surfing venue.
Tahiti.
All right. I love it. Tahiti.
It's one of those things where you're sad you're not going to Paris, and then you realize you're going to Tahiti.
Right, it's like they're 10,000 miles away. Because Tahiti is part of France. Okay. Tahiti is part of French Polynesia, an overseas territory of France in the South Pacific. That's why they're doing it. They're actually French. It would be like us having a competition in Guam. Wow.
I'm guessing they couldn't do man-made waves in the scene.
Well, at least they got it through the opening ceremonies without anybody sinking.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially with the lack of detail this group's put in so far. Yeah. So, there we go. Yeah. Now, the suit, I think, has watched every second of it so far, I believe.
Probably currently streaming in his office.
Ah, jeez, and I was hoping we were selling stuff. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKLK, brought to you by NIL Game Changers.
Henry Ford started building trucks in 1917, and Sunbury Motors has been selling them ever since. SMC has over 100 new Ford trucks with savings of up to $12,116, and financing as low as 0% during their annual July truck sale. Choose from 16 of the top-selling 2024 Ford Mavericks. They get up to 42 miles per gallon, and Sunbury Motors has them priced as low as $27,835. SMC has Central PA's largest selection of new Ford F-150s, with 48 to pick from, and well-equipped Supercrew XLTs start at just $49,831. Sunbury Motors has a wide selection of Super Duty pickups with 36 to choose from, including regular cabs, Super Cabs, Super Crews, and utility bodies with gas or diesel engines. SMC is where you want to be in July for the hottest deals on new Ford trucks. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is a fifth-generation Ford dealer proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers.
Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. This half hour being brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, boat, business, motorcycle, RV. We all have different insurance needs. Purdy Insurance can handle them all. And they'll do everything they can to save you money while making sure you're fully insured. Best in the business. And we're 9 days away. 9 days away for the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. If you don't have your team together yet, get it there. We have the day's a blast. We enjoy it. And if you want to see the improper use of a chutter, this is your golden opportunity.
If you want to see poor use of the rest of the clubs, come find me.
I kind of left you out of the conversation there. I wasn't going to, you know. Yeah.
I have a honeymoon for the first one, right?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Actually, I think I played in one in the late 90s with a daily item team. I think that's what it was for, but that was a long time ago.
Really?
Yes.
Congratulations to Jamie Erdahl. You want to know why? She's doing an interview, and in the interview, because when I talk to my broadcasting class, of which the sands of time are beginning to run out. Do I sound happy? All right. I tell them to ask what and why questions. Ask as many what and why questions as possible. Listen. Ask follow-ups if need be. But ask what and why questions. So they were on Good Morning Football, which has been revamped. She's on with Peter Schrager, Kyle Brandt. Right. And so she said, quote, "There is a part of the sideline reporter pact. Please don't say tell me about." And she's so correct. Coach, tell me about. She said, don't do it. You cannot start, tell me about, and then end it with a question. It's physically impossible. It's grammatically incorrect. Don't do it. And to me, it is a crutch. And this is something I also talked to them about. You have to, whether you're doing play-by-play or whether you're asking questions, don't fall back on crutches. It's a crutch. Tell me about it's open-ended. I've got that. But just get right into the question. You know, it's interesting. You know who's been criticized at times for how simple her questions are? And she's spot on and right about it. It's Emily Kaplan. Now, obviously, I've known Emily for, how long have I known Emily? 13 years when she was covering basketball at Penn State. But Emily just asked questions. And they're simple and to the point. Well, that's all they have to be. The whole point's the answer, not the question. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, one of the worst offenders of it is the guy that's on after this show. And that's and Sean Hannity. Now, Sean Hannity is a brilliant communicator. He's a brilliant communicator. But when he asks a guest a question, whether it's on TV or on radio, he'll give this long opinion that leads into a question. Well, why did you bring the guest on? Why don't you just ask the question? You can deliver the opinion when he's done or she's done. I've never understood that part of it. When you're doing an interview with somebody, let's say the interview goes 15 minutes. The subject talking should be talking for a minimum of 10 of the 15 minutes. Minimum. Why'd you bring the guest on? When Rich Scarcella's on, we'll talk back and forth, but he'll do most of the talking. Because that's why we brought him on, to do most of the talking. I mean, I'm out here delivering opinions the entire time. You don't need to hear me deliver an opinion again in a question. Joe Bonino. Here's a question. Coach, the offense, this is a quote. Coach, the offense scored three touchdowns in the first half. Aaron was playing like Super Bowl Aaron, and you punted from the 48 in your first drive of the second half, even though the run game was working. Breece Hall had two big runs on that drive. And he goes on and on and on. Garrett Wilson caught a 30-yard touchdown pass on fourth down 2 weeks ago. Get him the ball. How about that? The above, okay, that was a quote, but not exaggerated. How about that? How about that's not a question?
I thought that was the preface to the question, not the whole question.
Right. How about that? I mean, she's right. I give her credit for saying it. She's right. It's become a crutch. Yeah. Drew, tell me about the touchdown pass. Let's pick Julian Fleming. It's got to be. Drew, you threw the touchdown pass to Julian Fleming. What developed on the play? What did you see? Well, it's not a long question. We told you what play you're looking at, and then you asked him a question. And it was a what question? Right? And Emily asked very simple and direct questions, which are not easy to do in that window when you're on with the coach at the bench, because it's in game. Okay. Colin Coward says all the time, what you say, or what say you? He always says, what say you? Like, what say you what? Just ask a question. Try to stay away from statements. Nicholas, that was a great third quarter run. Okay. And? Anything else? No? You sure?
That's why I'm of the feeling you should always spend at least a year doing high school and youth sports at a small newspaper. If you can learn how to interview a 16-year-old kid and a 12-year-old kid, you can interview anybody.
Right.
If you can get a 12-year-old kid to talk to you after a game and give you something usable, you can interview anybody on this earth.
Right. Well, I mean, that's how I began my career, doing high school football.
I think that's how most people did.
And high school basketball. I had to work my way up.
And that's the issue. That's part of the issue of just the business in general, is there's not a lot of these small places to start your career anymore, to start to work your way up. Most of these people are, you know, you're either ending up writing on the internet or, you know, you're right away. I mean, if you look at some of the hirings of these big newspapers sometimes, some of these sports editors these days are in their mid-20s or early 20s, because that's the only people that are doing it these days.
Well, this is the way. Let's give you an example of what you're talking about. Let's talk about local radio. And I'll give you one also. Chris Fowler is a great example, too. Right? What did Chris Fowler first do when he broke in at ESPN?
High School Sports America.
Yeah. Scholastic Sports America. Yep. That's exactly what he did. Right? And he was able to cut his teeth on a show that was interesting, but not the highest rated show they had. And he worked his way up from that. And he has become at the top of his field. But he started with the very bottom show on the ESPN ladder. The way radio used to be, this is the way radio used to be. When I started out, we had six shows. We had Drive Time 6 to 10. Then we had an afternoon midday show, 10 to 2. Afternoon Drive was 2 to 6. Early evening was 6 to 10. Then we had somebody on from 10 at night to 2 in the morning, and somebody on what we called the graveyard shift, 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. What happened was is that the 10 p.m. to 2 p.m. person and the 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. person, those two people were young. They could make 1,000 mistakes. And then as each month went by, 1,000 mistakes became 700. Another month goes by, 700 became 300. Another month went by, right? 300 became maybe 100. Another month went by, it became 50 because they're getting experience. Then they're doing a pretty doggone smooth show, and then somebody would leave. Suddenly the midday guy leaves. Wow. You don't want to change your drive time, guys, so you probably would then take the 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. person and move that person to the middays. The 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. person suddenly gets 6 to 10. The graveyard from 2 a.m. to 6 now suddenly gets 10 to 2 at night. Moved up. And then you hire somebody that's young to take over the graveyard shift. And somebody else leaves, and you move people up again. Maybe your afternoon drive time person leaves. So then suddenly you take the 10 to 2 midday person and move that to drive time. And then suddenly the person that's doing 6 to 10 at night becomes midday. And then suddenly the person that had been doing graveyard before and got moved to 10 to 2, now it's doing 6 to 10. Right? And that's how you develop your staff in the old days. So when people got jobs and moved up, when somebody moved on, they had experience and people were familiar with them. We don't have that anymore. We don't have that anymore. And it's hurt the entire industry in terms of the ability to develop talent and allow them to make mistakes at times of the day where nobody can hear it. We don't develop talent anymore. We discourage development. And you talk about doing high school sports? Absolutely, that is the way to cut your teeth in the sports business. But yet, how many young people want to do high school sports?
I mean, that's the biggest thing missing from at least our area, our business right now is stringers, you know, part-timers, people that would do that stuff right now, because, you know, everybody now expects to be doing the best thing at the very first, you know, from the very first, and not work their way up to it.
They expect to be on SportsCenter.
Pretty much.
I mean, I teach these people. Yeah. That's what they expect. I sit there and go, like, what are you doing? They'll come in, they'll open up their laptops, and I look at them and I'll say, excuse me. I said, how good are all of you at multitasking? Who thinks they're great at multitasking? And every hand goes up. I said, well, I can tell you right now, in no uncertain terms, you stink at it. Because they do. You can only do one thing at a time. Now, it doesn't mean you can't go from one thing to the other, but when you go to the other, then you concentrate on that. In other words, I took care of the spikes this morning. Then after that, I took care of the syllabus for the fall. right? Then they had to go do something else, went out and did that. Now I'm doing this. Well, you concentrate on one thing at a time. Doesn't mean you can't do multiple things in a day, but your ability to do two at the same time, come on. That's absurd. You got to, you know, when you're doing this show, do you expect me to be sitting here talking to Todd about issues and elements that are important maybe to you, the audience, while I'm sitting here putting together a depth chart at the same time of a Penn State football game? No, I'll do that before the show, or I'll do it after the show. You got to lock in on the task at hand. And that's another thing you learn in covering high school football. Locking in and doing the task at hand, because you can only do one thing realistically at a time.
Well, also, you also have to keep your own stats. There's not enough time to multitask in high school football.
Exactly. You don't. That is exactly right. You don't have the opportunity to do that. And that's what they have to understand. That's what we're doing. Not doing a good job in this business of development of talent. And we're not doing a good job of getting them to lock in on the task at hand. Right? And you, the audience, you're the ones that suffer for it. And then you get interviews with, Coach, tell me about it. Like, no, just ask a question. Like, you know, watch the game, ask the question. Don't be sitting there on the sideline in your social media account and then do the interview. Watch what's going on. It's no time to tweet. Let's go.
Hi, man. You're giving me flashbacks because there was two seasons where we were supposed to tweet and videotape while we were doing all that stuff.
Right. And the people that told you that do not understand
now
what it means to lock in on what you're doing. I mean, your focus should be whatever it is you're doing at that moment. I mean, and for example, if you have your entire family over, your family should be the focus. You can take care of your job later. I always go back to Joe Paterno's blue line on the football practice field. He always told them, when you cross the blue line, the only thing you can take care of is football. He says, you can't take care of your academics, you can't take care of your social life, your personal life, anything like that. You know, so for the 2 to 2.5 hours you're on this side of the line, all you can do is football, so just concentrate on that. When you get to the other side of the line, then you can take care of the other things. Okay. It's a fact. And to have somebody in a business tell you you need to do this on social media and that while you're covering the game, wrong. Okay? That person does not get the audience. They don't get it. They don't get it. That's why Jack Ham and I were asked to do that. We were asked to do that by Learfield. And we both told them no, that we would not do it. They said the game's the single most important thing. We're going to take care of that. And Jack and I were adamant about it because they wanted us to tweet during timeouts. I said no. And Jack absolutely said no. He said, I'm not doing that. And we never did. And I know we were right. Just because people want to take advantage of something new out there or whatever, hey, look. They said, well, you can tweet about injuries. I said, why do you want me to tweet about injuries? Don't you want us to say them? Isn't that the purpose of the broadcast? They go, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah? Why bother having the broadcast? We're just going to tweet about it. But we were asked to do that, Todd, and the two of us, I mean, it didn't take much for both of us to, like, you know, look at them and go, no, we're not doing that.
Asking you would be amusing enough. I want video of them asking Jack, to be honest.
Well, no, we were together when they asked us. No, we were together, and the two of us were adamant. They were like, no. We were like, no, no way. I said, get somebody else to do it. I said, hire an intern. Right? And Jack was like, I'm not doing that. I said, no kidding. I said, neither am I. Right? And it's not because we're trying to be jerks about it. We want to concentrate on the job, on the game. That's not the job. That's not the game. Two of us talk a lot during the timeouts about some things that each one of us is seeing. And yes, believe it or not, every once in a while there's something I see that he missed. I know it's shocking, but once because he sees everything. But we'll talk about stuff. To us, the whole thing's about the broadcast and the game. The game is the most important part, with the broadcast being the right. We're not going to sit there and tweet and take time away. And that's why we said no to it. Now, it helped that we were probably in a power position and could do it. I mean, we were in pretty much a power position. We could look at them and tell them, like, no, we're not going to do that. Now, speaking of what you just called me. Perfect. You set up at tea time. We're good. That's what we worry about at the start of training camp. Oh god. It'll work out just fine. But you see my point. I mean, at least we're in a position we could tell them though.
Oh, definitely. That always helps, too.
Yeah. I'm sorry, we're going to bring two other people in. No. We'll reconsider. The Sue tweets during a game, doesn't he?
I think so. I mean, I tweet score updates and stuff like that, but they wanted more play-by-play and highlights, and, like, I only got two hands, man.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's an issue. That's an issue. It's a big issue. So, all right. Rich Scarcella at 2:35 today. This half hour has been brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street and Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. A News Radio 1070 WK, okay?
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks. The FBI will interview former President Trump soon as part of its investigation into his attempted assassination. CBS's Cammie McCormick with the latest.
The FBI has interviewed hundreds of people, but to help answer lingering questions,
we have contacted former President Trump, and he has agreed to participate in the victim interview.
Kevin Rochek is a special agent in charge of the Pittsburgh FBI field office. He says the shooter's internet searches are still being analyzed, but revealed an interest in mass shootings.
The investigation has revealed searches of nationally elected officials, including our current and former presidents.
The shooter's motive still isn't known, but he was believed to be a loner without any accomplices.
A 17-year-old now been arrested for a deadly stabbing spree in England. Nick Garrett's with the BBC.
The situation is, as we know, that one person has been arrested, that a knife was recovered, or a sharp-bladed instrument. We don't particularly know that it was a knife at this point, but that the police are saying that there is no threat to the wider area.
Two people have now died from these attacks. 11 others were injured. Nicolas Maduro has claimed victory and another six-year term following some controversial elections in Venezuela.
The National Security Council says, quote, "We have serious concerns that this result does not reflect the will and the votes of the Venezuelan people. We urge Maduro and his representatives to respect the democratic aspirations of the Venezuelan people and to take immediate steps to restore democratic processes in Venezuela."
That's CBS's Stacy Lynn. In California, the Park Fire keeps growing. It's now burned more than 368,000 acres with little containment. But cooler weather could help. Bianca Mercado's with CAL FIRE.
With a little bit more moisture in the air and a little bit cooler temperatures, we can fight fire a little bit more aggressively with the boots on the ground because it's not as hot.
Temps will spike back into the hundreds later this week. Meantime, Dollywood is drying out in Tennessee. Dolly Parton's theme park got hit by thunderstorms yesterday and flash floods. At least one person got hurt there. Apple says it plans to delay its AI rollout. Here's CBS's Jason Brooks.
Apple won't include Apple Intelligence in the iPhone 16 when the device debuts in September, but will instead roll out the new AI features in a software update a few weeks later in October. Apple reportedly wants more time to test the features and is allowing software developers access to Apple Intelligence starting this week.
And Olympic officials have scrapped the swimming portion of triathlon training in the Seine River for a second straight day over water quality concerns. Competition is supposed to start tomorrow. This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay, and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today.
Wherever I travel, I've learned that local knowledge is key to a great journey. But so is knowing the language. And that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. They're now offering a lifetime membership to all 25 of their languages. You can dabble in French, try a little German, learn Japanese or Swedish. And you can now get 50% off Rosetta Stone's lifetime unlimited subscription. Visit rosettastone.com/radio today to purchase and then learn for life. That's rosettastone.com/radio.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Save money today on your next full synthetic oil change at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get a $10 gift card after rebate when you buy 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for just $35.95. Our professional parts people can recommend the oil change supplies you need at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or at O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
A piece of Hollywood history has sold at